I was asked this morning, in the meeting here, before this one, what I was going to say. I said I didn't know. And I don't know as much now what I'm going to say as I did then. But when I look at this program and see that Brother Lee and Brother Romney and others of the brethren are to speak on the topic of living, I don't want to trespass upon what they may want to say. However, the gospel is broad enough, and the way to live is wide enough, that I think maybe I can say something in relation to it. And then if they have prepared something along the same line, I've had the advantage of them. We oftentimes hear the quotation, the Savior's words, that he came to give men life that they might have it more abundantly. And so many times I've had the idea that those who spoke to that text had an idea that the Lord was speaking about an abundant life, having your garner filled, your barns, your bank account in good condition, and everything pertaining to this mortal life. I don't think the Lord meant that at all. What he came here for was to give us life eternal. That's the abundant life. Now, every soul born into this world will get immortality. They will live again. Their spirits and bodies will be united in the resurrection inseparably, never again to be divided. That's the great gift that comes to all mankind. But eternal life is something more than that. Eternal life is life in God's presence, the same kind of life that he has. It's the life of increase. Increase in knowledge, increase in power, in wisdom, in all the virtues, and in posterity. That's the abundant life. And that will not be given to every soul. It will come to those who keep the commandments, walk humbly, and live righteously, obeying every law and covenant pertaining to the gospel. The Lord said on that occasion, when Nicodemus came to him, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. But everyone that doeth good evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Now, that's the correct story. I have a little clipping here that I carry with me in my little Bible that I want to read. If you wish to go where God is, you must be like God, or possess the principles which God possesses. For if we are not drawing towards God in principle, we are going from him and drawing towards the devil. The prophet Joseph Smith. As far as we degenerate from God, we descend to the devil and lose knowledge and are filled with evil. And we are studying evil. There is no room in our hearts for good or studying good. Is not God good? Then you be good. If he is faithful, then you be faithful. Add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, and seek for every good thing. So said the prophet Joseph Smith. And then I had another little item here from President Brigham Young. The gospel will save the whole human family. The blood of Jesus will atone for all sin. If we accept the terms he has laid down, but we must accept these terms or it will avail nothing in our behalf. Now that abundant life will come to us if we will keep his commandments. I am asked a question frequently. I suppose the other brethren are. And there seems to be an idea prevailing to a very great extent throughout the church, that we don't have to be too particular about keeping the commandments of the Lord. Walking circumspectly in the light of the truth, we might vary a little. You know, that's what Nephi said we'd be saying. And if we should not be just as faithful as we ought to be, the Lord will beat us with a few stripes, and at last we will be saved in the kingdom of God. Now I know there are members of the church who feel that way, but they don't understand the gospel. They don't understand the life we came here to live. The purpose of life, they have failed to comprehend. I stated this morning, and I'm going to repeat it, that we came here to this world to be proved, tried, to see what kind of metal's in us. And if you will permit me, I'd like to read to you a few verses from the second chapter of 1 Corinthians. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon the foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built upon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. And there are millions of people in the world who are just foolish enough to believe that Paul's speaking to them. He isn't. Paul was speaking to members of the church, and only to members of the church who had made covenants to keep the commandments of God. This isn't a general epistle to people who don't believe in Christ or who are not living his gospel, who may profess his name. These epistles in the Bible are epistles to men and women who have made covenants to abide in the law of Jesus Christ. Not to the world. Now, this question, I say, question comes to me frequently. Will the ordinances of the gospel have to be applied to everybody? It was only here less than a month ago that the statement came to me that in one of our classes somewhere they had been discussing salvation, and somebody made the statement and divided the class into two camps when he said that every soul would have to be baptized. Now they argued over it. And someone in that class wrote to me and wanted to know if that were true, because this individual did not believe it. Well, if we're going to be baptized for every soul living upon the face of the earth, then the Savior did not mean what he said to his apostles after his resurrection when he said, "Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned." Because if we're going to baptize them all, nobody's going to be damned. And I opened this, brought it down thinking I might find something in it I'd want to say, and I opened it here, and I'm going to read this. And this is by authority, because it is a statement from the First Presidency and the Council of the Twelve unitedly. "All ordinances of the gospel that have been revealed to the church and that we teach and practice appertain to the celestial kingdom. As there is nothing definitely revealed in regard to the ordinances necessary to entrance into the terrestrial or celestial kingdoms, if there be such ordinances, it would be unwise for us to express ourselves on this question designating the ordinances that may be required for entrance into these kingdoms of glory." All of the ordinances, baptism, confirmation, the sealings and ordinances in the temple of the Lord, all belong to the celestial kingdom. And we're not preaching a gospel of any other kingdom. We don't send missionaries out to bring people into the terrestrial kingdom. We don't send them out to bring them into the celestial kingdom. I can tell anybody how to get in the celestial kingdom. I wouldn't advise it. And so maybe I better not tell you. I can tell you how to get into the terrestrial kingdom. But I'm not concerned with the terrestrial kingdom. You shouldn't be, and I hope you're not. All we ought to be concerned about is our salvation in the celestial kingdom of God. And that means faithfulness to every word that proceedeth forth from the mouth of God and the keeping of His commandments. And if you want to enter there, then you abide in the covenants. Don't fail to receive them, but be worthy to receive them. We have a great many members of this church who are satisfied, apparently, just to be members of the church. They do not magnify, if they are brethren, the priesthood which has been bestowed upon them, therefore it will be taken away. They do not care to receive the ordinances of the temple of the Lord, and yet they think that they're going to enter into the exaltation and receive this abundant life, or the fullness of life, or the life for which we came here. And they're mistaken. The Lord has spoken definitely in so many of these scriptures, but there are some members of the church that don't believe He means what He says. Absolutely so. They think a man can live any way he wants to and die in his sins, and then we can go to the temple and do the work for him and put him in the celestial kingdom and on an equality with every faithful person who has sacrificed and been true and faithful to every covenant. And yet we can take these people who have been apostate and who have not had faith enough to keep these commandments And all we need to go do is to go to the temple and have somebody act as proxy for them, and vicariously the blessings will be given unto them so that they can receive the exaltation in the kingdom of God. And I don't so read it in any scripture. Now I'm going to read you one passage. The words of the Savior himself. And by that time, then I'll quit. And for this cause, that men might humble themselves and receive the gospel, have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not unto the end, the same is he that is also hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men, and for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words. And no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore, nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood because of their faith and the repentance of all their sins and their faithfulness unto the end. 3 Nephi chapter 27, verses 15 to 19 inclusive. Why can't we feel and understand that this is true? And I said this morning in the other talk I made that the principles of eternal truth, the ordinances of the gospel, are just as immutable. We can't change them. Just as immutable, endurable, as any of the laws of nature, which are also the laws of God. And you can't set them aside. I can't. Nobody can. The Lord has declared them. And we can't change them. The Lord bless you in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.